Good morning, Cross Connection. I'm Pastor Mark, and Pastor Miles has asked that I sit in and teach while he takes a little well-earned R&R. And lately we've been in the book of Deuteronomy, and we've been exploring God's law and our relationship to God's law. And so I'd like to camp out a little bit on that and talk a little bit about our relationship with the law and as Christians. And so we have a little different relationship there. And so as we do that, we're going to be in the book of Psalms, and we're going to be in Psalm 1. One thing we want to look at is how our relationship is with the law, being Christians in Christ Jesus. And we know that the law is not abolished, and that Jesus actually came to fulfill the law, not to abolish the law. He says it himself, and he actually expands on the law when asked about it. In fact, it says, do not murder, but Jesus says, if we have thought about murder and we have hate in our heart, that we've actually murdered. And so he actually expands the law. The good news in this is that Jesus also covers our sin. And so we're going to explore that this morning. It's important as believers that we understand and we apply and we walk in the application of what God's law means to us, not just thousands of years ago, but today more than ever. We need to realize that the law is not our enemy. It is not a taskmaster, but the law is a gift given by a loving Father and a guide to us for life, because he loves us and he wants to direct us in a way that is blessed. And so, also as a side note, I thought this morning it would be kind of helpful and kind of handy is that I would also throw in the key to life. So maybe you're going to want to, you know, stay with us here and find out what the key to life is, if that's interesting to you. So as we're turning into the book of Psalms there in your Bible, let's ask the Lord to expound on the scriptures and invite the Holy Spirit to teach us this morning. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word that you've left for us and the examples. And we thank you, Lord, for those who have gone before us and set those examples and taught us in the way, Lord. And so this morning, as we look to your word, may your Holy Spirit be a teacher to us, Father. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's saints said, amen. All right. Boy, I wish I was in church with you again, and I hope it's not that long. So Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 is written by King David. And David is a man, we could go through his life, and one thing we could say about David is David understood what it was to walk with God. He also understood what it was to not walk with God. We have that example also in the scriptures. But he knew God, and he walked in his ways. He didn't just know about God, but he knew God, and he walked in his ways. And so this is a reflection on his relationship with the Lord and his understanding in the Lord. And so Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay, we need to look at that, because there's a lot there and there's words that we're not familiar with. So first of all, the word blessed here, there's a lot to it. There's actually layers to this word blessed as it sits in the original language. It says that there's a plurality to it. There's more meanings to it than just being blessed, as we know to be blessed. What it means to be blessed in the original language, the way it's used here, is a person, a man or a woman, who is content, who is right or straight with God, and a person that is happy. And I don't think there's a person alive that wouldn't want to be right or straight with God, that would not want to be content, and would not want to be happy. Certainly a person that follows the Lord, those would be three things that would be very important to us. And so this is a guide. This is something we need to pay attention to. And so this word blessed is used to describe the blessing that comes upon this man, or who this man is. And one, it shows some things that this man doesn't do who is blessed. And I honestly think David's probably talking about himself from personal experience, but I think we can fall into the same thing too if we walk in the ways of the Lord. It says he doesn't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what does that mean? The counsel of the ungodly, a man who does not sit, or a woman who does not sit in the counsel of the ungodly, accepts only righteous counsel. The way that they make decisions, the things that they follow, let's say, the places they seek advice, counsel, the way they meter their success, all those things, they do not come from ungodly sources. They do not come from ungodly thoughts, but they come from righteous sources and righteous thoughts. They come from God's word. They come from trying to be like the Lord. And so that means that's how this person thinks, this blessed man. This is how he thinks, or better said, this is what this man delights in. This is the very fiber of his being, is that he accepts only godly counsel and advice. It says that this man doesn't stand with sinners, and what that means is that this man does not take the path or go the direction of sinners. Many times he goes against the flow. It's what he acts upon and acts like. In short, you can look at that as this is what his decisions are founded on. So his decisions are made upon a righteous path, not an ungodly path. These are the things that go into his decision-making process. And it says that he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. So who are the scornful? Well, you may have met some of the scornful people in your life. Scornful people are both those inside and even outside of the church that are critical of God, God's ways, and God's people. And so, boy, we certainly see quite a bit out there as we are looking at the news or we run into the reputation of the church and things like that outside the church. We certainly know what it is like to listen to those that are scornful, that have nothing but criticism for God's church and God's ways and God's people. A man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful, it says, is that someone who knows who he loves and who he belongs to. In this case, it would be the Lord. In short, he knows his destiny. He knows where he is going. He knows that he is going to be with none other than the Creator, the Master, the Father, the Creator of the universe, our Lord. And so these are not habits of the man or the woman who is blessed. Now we look in Psalm 1 and we go into verse 2. It tells us what is important here. And it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Well, wow, that's a lot. And what does it mean to delight in the law of the Lord? I mean, that can be such a foreign concept, to delight in the law of the Lord. Well, thankfully, Jesus in Luke chapter 10, there's an exchange recorded there, and Jesus describes it to us perfectly. And if we turn to Luke chapter 10, and we start in verse 25, we'll see that the Bible teaches the Bible, which is the best way for the Bible to be taught, is to have the Bible teach the Bible. And so we look at this exchange. Jesus has been kind of called out, so to speak, by some of the religious elite. And Jesus is questioned by a lawyer. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? I love the fact that Jesus answers questions with questions so many times. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself to Jesus, said, and who is my neighbor? So what this lawyer recites is what they call the Shema, and it occurs in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And it basically frames and describes the intent and the spirit of God's law. And he answers well, and every young Jewish man would know, an older Jewish man obviously, would know this by heart. It was something they rehearsed, and it was something that they said. And so Jesus goes further in to answer this question just a little bit farther as we go back into Luke 10, and we see this. upon asking, who is his neighbor? Jesus goes and he answers and says, with a story, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now, there's a lot going on here, and more than just meets the eye to us, because sometimes we're unfamiliar with the class system and the racial divide that Jesus is talking about here. And so we have these 3 characters. Now we have a Levite and we have a priest, and they're both experts in God's law, and they're part of the ruling class or upper class of Israel at the time. And this doesn't necessarily have to be something that actually happened. It's an illustration that Jesus is giving. There are a group called the Samaritans, and they are, by ethnicity, half Jewish. They had intermarried into some of the local peoples, and so they were considered to be half-breeds or second-class citizens, as they had adopted many of the customs and habits of the people that they intermarried with. And so there was this racial divide, and they were looked at many times in the early writings by the Pharisees as Samaritans were nothing, but they were considered nothing but logs for the flames of hell. They cared nothing about the Samaritan people. And so Jesus stirs it up with a story and has the most unlikely person be the one to carry out God's law. You see, the Levite and the priest both knew the law. They knew about the law, so to speak. They knew its statutes and they had memorized it. But in this story, it's illustrated that they did not actually know the law. There is a difference between knowing about the law and knowing the law, just like there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And in this story, Jesus clearly demonstrates that to know the law, not know about the law, but to know about the law, is to do this loving of one's neighbor, this act of kindness. Why? Because it reflects the very heart, the very compassionate heart, the loving heart of God. It's to do like God would do, to do like God would have us do. And so he describes a scenario which, to those in his audience there, the priest and the Pharisees and those, was probably quite upsetting at the time. The Samaritan knew the law because he reacted as God would have in the situation. When we delight in the law, we also delight in the lawgiver. You see, when we understand the law in the proper perspective, it also shows that we understand the lawgiver as a loving father who put those guides, those laws there for our own safety, to help us, to guide us, and to lead us. Now, it's interesting that if you go to Psalm 37, so I'm going to have you turn there, and in Psalm 37, David, once again, writes a psalm that is, it's very near to me and dear to me, but it's so encouraging. And in this psalm, he says, in Psalm 37:1, it says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And then this very important line in verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It's a very important verse as we study Psalm 1. You see, here's the key to life as I see it. And David knows this key. Our delights, how we think, what we shoot for, the things that absorb us, the things that take our energy, our assets, our time, our thought life, the things that our heart just gloms onto, those things drive our lives. And so what we delight in is what we base our decisions on. We base our decisions on what we delight in. Our decisions are what shape our lives. I'm sure that we can all look back into decisions that we've made in our lives, good ones, and seen the blessing and the prosperity in those good decisions made in the light of God's word and God's will. And those decisions we made that were outside of God's will and outside of delighting in the Lord. And they have two very different outcomes. And so the sum of our lives are the decisions that we make as we move forward in life. In short, our decisions determine our destiny. They determine our destiny. Our delights, how we think, lead to our decisions, how we act or behave, lead to our destiny, our path, and our final destination. If we go back to Psalm 1 again, we read in Psalm 1, verse 3, he says of the man who is blessed and doesn't do these things, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now in Psalm 37, we go back to there, David also echoes that same sentiment, that same statement, just with different words. And he says, commit your way to the Lord, in verse 5, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So how does that work? It's not that we just delight in something and the Lord brings that to pass. That's a poor piece of theology. What David is getting at in this psalm is that when our delight is in the Lord, what happens is automatically, when our delights are in the Lord, our decisions, the things we want, the things that we aspire to, line up with what God aspires and wants for us. And God is not denied. He is the creator of the universe. He is the largest power in the universe. He is our loving Father. He is not denied. Nobody says no to the Lord. The Lord gets what he wants. And so we are granted those desires. And so, in closing, what does delighting in the Lord, delighting in his law, look like in the year 2020 here at Cross Connection Church? Well, I had a great week last week. I had a chance to get away. And my wife and I, we went to go hang out with some friends at a place up north here, up at Camp Pendleton, in some beach cottages. And we were with two different families. And it was just a time where we got to just kind of be away from things. And so as the cottages have kind of a zero property line, there was a family that we didn't know that was right next to us. And as the family showed up and we're trying to respect their personal space and all that, they had two beautiful children that were, you know, running around and they were playing with our kids and things. And we were friendly as they wanted to. But it was really great because a little later on, later in the afternoon, when the barbecues were done and we're kind of just hanging out, there was a birthday party, and we were having a birthday party for one of the families. And as the two little girls from the other little cottage were looking on, I sat back and I watched our people. And The parents were encouraged to come a little bit closer as we were having the birthday party, and the girls were encouraged to come a little bit closer. And six overflowing massive candy bags turned into eight still pretty big candy bags, and party hats went on those little girls that were next to us. And I saw a retired scruffy old Marine that got saved here at Cross Connection Church, and a young urban professional had been at the church for, gosh, as longer than I have, spend time and be welcoming with two people they had never met before. And the intent of the conversation, I could see, was that they were wanting to minister to this young couple. And also as the ladies were ministering to the wife and speaking to the wife, what I saw was a spirit of welcoming. And what I saw was, is the conversation got to speak of spiritual things, and they were, in the end, invited to church. They shared a birthday party, they shared cupcakes, they shared all these things. But this sweet couple, and it wasn't a spirit of, a smash and grab, we're going to lead people to the Lord and then run away. It was a spirit of wanting to include this couple in just the great life that we're having here in connection with one another. And so I hope that they're watching this service. I know that they felt welcome. They were certainly invited. But as I watched what the desires of our people were, these two men that were having this conversation, I saw that their desires above all things, that their delight was in pleasing God, in bringing people the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, it turns out this couple did have the very, a knowledge of Jesus, but they were looking for a church in the area. And so I was just so blessed, because that's what delighting in the Lord looks like. It is putting yourself out there to whoever your neighbor is to encourage them. And certainly this is a time that we could all use encouragement. So the key to life starts when we delight in the Lord, when our desires and our delights take a second seat to what God's desires and God's delights are. And in turn, our decisions and our destiny follows from there. What should we do and how should we do it? Well, I'll leave you with this last piece of advice. And it's the same advice that Jesus gave that lawyer 2,000 years ago. Go and do likewise.